Corner Hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with John Gray and Arjuna Arda, and they are the co-authors of Conscious Men. And I want to go back a little bit to listening. And John, I'd love for you to relate a story that you tell in the book about your wife and coming home and her having all these complaints. Can you tell that story, please?
Yeah, that's a fun story. You know, we've been married now 31 years, but we're going back now to like the 6th year of the marriage, somewhere in that range. And I'm a therapist, and here I am listening to women all day long, and they're feeling so supported by that. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to, when my wife has complaints, she was upset about something. I said, I'm just going to pretend this is a therapy session and just keep asking questions and just tell me more, help me understand that better. So what you're saying is this. And she said, no, that's not what I'm saying. I said, okay, well, tell me more, help me understand it. But it was just literally, I'm hearing it. I'm really trying to get into her place. And at the same time, because she's my wife, everything sounded like a complaint about me. That's the difference. When I'm listening to the women in counseling, it's not about me. So that's the first thing. But I said, I'm just putting my reactions to the side, almost like in a courtroom. I'm listing my defense, okay? But I'm being very good in my head. I've got my list over there for everything she said, and I've got my defense. And so then after 50 minutes to an hour, okay, this went on, but that's how long a counseling session is. Then I said, do you feel heard? She says, completely. And I said, is there anything else you need to tell me? She says, no. And I said, do you feel like I understand you? She says, yes. And then I said, well, would this be a good time for me to share how I feel? And she said, no. I said, what do you mean? And she says, I don't know, but I'll let you know. She says, no, this wouldn't be a good time. And she paused, and then she goes, I just want to bask in the sunshine of your love. And I was shocked that a woman who could complain to me for 50 minutes could be basking in the sunshine of love. If I had that many complaints, I want, you know, I'm upset with you. But she was actually transformed by just being able to talk about her feelings. She felt heard. And so when she says basking in the sunshine of my love, a part of me goes, this is the male part of me goes, oh, I did something good. Whenever a man feels he's done something good and he's successful, his testosterone starts to rise, his estrogen goes down, he feels better. So I'd say my upset went from 100% upset. I was ready to just lay it out. Everything she said was wrong, and I had a defense. And it went down about 20% when she said that. But I thought, okay, I'll just sit here and wait till she's ready. And she started making me dinner. And she said, oh, I'm going to make you chicken and peas tonight. And that she knew was my favorite meal. So she's now like doing something special for me. So then I went down to about 50% upset with her. And I'm amazed. While she's in the kitchen, she's actually like in a Disney movie. It's like there's bluebirds and she's singing and she's happy. And it's very hard for a man to be upset with his wife when she's happy because of something he did. Okay, this is what happens for men is that their testosterone goes up. We take credit for whenever she's happy. So then that night, I'm going to sleep. I'm still upset with her a bit inside. I didn't get to share my side of it. You know, she talked. Why don't I get to talk? All that pettiness and tit for tat is what I call that. And then she went and she put on some negligee. And I'm thinking, holy mackerel, what's this? So we made love that night and went to sleep. And then when I woke up, she kind of nudged up against me and she said, are you up? And I said, yeah. And then she said, well, you know, yesterday I shared with you my feelings. Well, this is a good time for you to tell me how you feel. And in that moment, all I felt was love for her. I had forgotten everything. And I realized as a man, really what I was looking for is for her to be happy with me. I didn't really have to share all these upset feelings. I didn't really have to defend myself. I had to realize that I have a happy wife and I made her happy. And that helped define for me the masculine and feminine side, because she was expressing herself. That lowered her stress, and I was listening. And all I have to do is listen with the confidence of knowing I'm making a difference. Like Arjuna said earlier, is that when you're listening as a man, you're giving a gift. I mean, think about it. What is women's biggest complaint? They want men to listen. And I realized that to be heard. And listening is the most masculine thing a man can do. And sharing her feelings is the most feminine thing a woman can do or a man can do. So we have to be careful if we want to maintain men anchored in their masculinity and women anchored in their femininity, we create more time for women to share and for men to listen. And if he really needs to share, give it some space and then come back once he's feeling good and he can talk about what's bothering him, not in the heat of the moment. When men talk about what they're feeling in the heat of the moment, it actually raises a man's stress. If women talk in the heat of the moment, if a man's able to listen, actually her stress will go down. And if she's able to communicate to him, you made my day. Thanks so much for listening. You don't have to fix anything. You don't have to solve anything. You don't have to change in any way. A guy can do that job. And if it makes a difference for her, what man doesn't want to do it? So this is answer all my clients. Men learn to listen and women are so much happier.
That's really illustrates that difference right there. The way she responds to stress and the way is with his. And in your case, that you didn't jump in there with all your defenses and you gave it some time and you noticed and you were present to what was going on with her, then that also released your stress, but yeah,
In a very different way. That my stress went down when I saw that I had done something that made her feel good.
Yeah.
That's all men want, is to be successful in making a woman feel good.
Arjuna.
You know, I think, I'm not sure if this was already happening before we wrote the book or if it was happened during the process, but I really learned this for myself. And it's one of those things that I think I didn't know, and most men don't know, that when you allow yourself to sit back into the saddle and become listening, it's better to say rather than doing listening, you kind of become awareness. It's an incredible empowerment for a man. I've discovered now, when I actually put myself into a disposition with my wife and I actually start to ask questions and let it be about her, whoa, something happens for me that I feel more trustworthy in myself. I feel more stable. And I've taught this now to dozens of men because I train coaches and I coach men. And every time a man gets this piece that listening is the key to him connecting with his stability, with his trustworthiness, with his power, it actually becomes a practice you do, as transformative as going to the gym.
And what Arjuna said there so clear is letting the conversation be about her. What we men do is we make suddenly the conversation becomes about us. And I remember the first time in my marriage where Bonnie was upset about something. You know, life has its stress, and she's not stressed all the time. I don't want to preface that, but it was one of those days, bad hair day. And I said, "What's the matter, honey?" She says to me, "I feel like I do everything." And I immediately went, "What do you mean you do everything?" And she says, "I have so much to do and I have no help." And I went, if you do everything, honey, that means I do nothing. I'm doing stuff too." And she says, "I'm just telling you how I feel. Why does it have to be about you?" And then I said, "If you say you do everything, that means I don't do anything because we're sharing our life together." And she says, "Can't I just talk about how I feel without it always being about you?" Mm-hmm. And I was a little frustrated. I went back to my cave, which is what I recommend to men to do, is when you're upset, calm down. Just do something to calm you down and think about what just happened and think about how you contributed to it so you can solve the problem rather than be a victim. And that will always calm a man down if he can do that. So I analyzed it, as I've done with all of our interactions, which is why I've written all these books on relationships. I analyzed, how did I contribute to the problem so it doesn't happen again? And I thought to myself, you know, if she was with another woman and she said, "Oh my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed. I do everything." The other woman would just go, "Yes, I know just how you feel. I do everything too." It's not having to have this reaction, but just being there for that person. And that's what a man can provide. A woman will provide, "Oh, I have the same experience." A man will provide a space that allows her to express how she feels with his interest and trying to understand where she's coming from.
There's another factor in here, though, where women can, we as women, divert ourselves from when we're in the middle of that complaint and he's maybe starting to listen or with maybe something like that. We are trained then to turn that spotlight back onto him. Do you hear what I'm saying? That he, that we then start to listen and ask questions of him, and it's an like an almost a reflex.
That
it happens so fast,
and it's so automatic that when here's what happened, which she suddenly goes, "What's he thinking? How's he hearing me? What's happening?" So suddenly she needs reassurance that he's still there with her, and part of that is again. Understanding a biological difference between men and women. When women have a challenge, they tend to feel stronger emotion at a moderate level. Okay, so, and when men are challenged, they feel less emotion. So when a problem is small, men will tend to detach from their emotions. Now, literally, if you measure his hormones, his testosterone go up because he's trying to figure out, okay, what do I do to make her happy? Because that testosterone goes up, his estrogen goes down. Estrogen is emotions. So whenever a man is challenged a little bit, it's not a big deal, he's going to think about what you're saying. He will tend to pull away. And she will feel that acutely because she's feeling this connection and suddenly it disappears. You then panic inside and go, what's going on inside of him? And now you want to ask questions at a time when you should be sharing and he needs to be listening.
So how do we break that cycle?
To notice it doesn't work. That's the whole key, is to recognize. And what my daughter does, Lauren Gray, she also teaches all this stuff now, in her relationship, when she's talking, she'll sense him pulling away. And rather than panic, she just says, you're just thinking about it, right? And he goes, yeah, I just need some time to think about it.
Oh, so that's a great question.
Yeah, you're just thinking about it.
Rather than making these assumptions in our head, we ask the question, oh, you're just thinking about it.
You're just thinking about it, right?
Oh,
and then he goes, yeah.
You know, you were asking, what do we do about it?
Yes.
And I think the key is right there in the title of the book, Conscious, you see?
Right.
Conscious. But from both men and women, mindfulness. Observation, recognizing, oh, that's the automatic knee-jerk reaction, and it hasn't worked out so well.
Yes.
And you actually, that's 97% of the work is realizing, oh, that automatic reaction doesn't work, and then you just relax and something more natural and intelligent will take its place.
Exactly. And I want to point out in the book, the title is Conscious Men, but within every single chapter, you have
a letter to women, right?
A letter to women. Yeah. I mean, this is a book about for women too. And here's the problem, and here's what women can actually contribute to the solution to it. And so it's just a fantastic book for both men and women. Mm. So even though the title is Conscious Men, it's for all of us together. So I wanted to remind us of that.
You know, part of my inspiration with Arjuna to write this book is so many women would come up to me and say, where are the conscious men? I'd say, really? They're all over the place. they're a diamond in the rough.
Right.
But this is how you bring out that diamond.
Yeah. Exactly. I want to remind our listeners that I'm here with John Gray and Arjuna Arda, and they are the co-authors of Conscious Men. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Arjuna Arda and John Gray, and they are the co-authors of Conscious Men. One part of the book that really grabbed my attention, I really felt much more informed after reading the part about male sexuality, and especially about men and porn and masturbation. Mm. And it really opened my eyes, and I'd love for you to share with us something about what you've learned in your research.
I think it's important to understand that men today face a dilemma around their sexuality, which has not been faced by any of our ancestors for hundreds and thousands of years of history. So here's the dilemma, okay? It's to do with our biology. A man gets turned on, gets aroused through the release of dopamine in his brain, which is a precursor to testosterone production. So he's going to feel sexually motivated through the release of dopamine, and that is stimulated through novelty, all right? This all goes back to, you know, how can the alpha male impregnate as many females as possible? It goes back to monkeys, you know? So basically, when a man sees a challenge, a new woman, he gets excited. So historically, if we go back just, you know, 100 years, a man would go and would become very romantic. He would write poems and bring her red roses, all of that, when there was a challenge, first of securing the woman's affections, then securing her sexual bonding, and then impregnating her, right? So it would be courtship, marriage, impregnation. But once he's impregnated her, and now she's the mother of his children, she has a dramatically increased motivation to bond because he's her protector. He has almost no biological impulse to remain faithful to her because of the newness, because the dopamine is associated with novelty. So historically, a man...
Because the newness went away.
Exactly.
Once familiarity sets in,
yes,
another brain chemical gets produced, which is serotonin. That's where you feel comfortable. Everything's predictable. But the newness, the challenge, is gone.
So then the dopamine isn't happening.
It doesn't happen as much.
So consequently then, historically, it was accepted in many cultures. I mean, even in our culture here, that a man would impregnate his wife, and it was quite common. He would have affairs, go to prostitutes. He almost had a right in, if we look back historically, I studied literature and sociology at university. So, you know, I got to see how it was considered normal for a man to be able to pursue this novelty. Now, here's the thing. Today, men have become more conscious. Both men and women have become more conscious. And today, we're seeing the first generation, our generation and the generations that follow, who actually want to create a successful monogamous relationship. So I can say on, you know, for me, for John, for the men we know, the men we coach, men today, conscious men, they don't want to have impregnating a woman and then going off
Having more women.
So a man now has a goal. He has and that's important to a man. He has a vision and a goal that he wants to achieve of a healthy, happy, sexual, monogamous relationship. But this creates an incredible dilemma because now he's trying to have ongoing sexual relationship with a woman where there's no novelty, right? So this is what happens, you see. A man now understands, well, if I want to be a good man and present with my woman, I need to go through some courtship. We need to have dinner. We need to talk. We need to talk a lot because talking increases her oxytocin, right? But of course, if he's going to talk with her about her feelings, it's also going to increase his oxytocin. So what happens? After they've gone through all the ritual of the date and getting ready, they go to bed and he's got a limp. He's got limp apparatus, okay?
His testosterone is way down, it plummeted. Yeah.
And so what happens? This is a very, because I talk to a lot of men that I coach. What happens? He gets frustrated. He gets confused. Why on earth is my biology not working? What does he do? They have some sort of a falling out. She goes to sleep. What does he do? He goes to his office, switches on the computer, and jerks off to porn. Right? Why? Because it's giving him the novelty. Now, John pointed out something I didn't know. There's been research done that men who go to porn sites, porn, incidentally, is said to account for 67% of the commerce on the web. Nobody would believe that. 67% of money transacted over the web is for men watching porn. Okay, a man, there's research that when a man goes
And there's
to,
some women
And some women,
porn,
right.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, okay,
but
yeah.
Not even close to
tiny
men.
Tiny percentage, yeah. So the statistics show when men go to websites, they they rarely go back to the same woman, right? If there's a website that has different models, they will go always to a new model.
So they keep the novelty going.
It's all about novelty.
But where does it become addictive then?
It becomes addictive because the brain chemistry involved in going to a website and looking at porn is a completely different brain chemistry than what's required to maintain relationship with a real woman. There's touch involved. There's connection involved. But let's jump ahead to the solution, because the solution is so beautiful that, you know, we've kind of sketched over the problem. Now, here's the solution, which is so elegant and so wonderful and works so well. And I've trained dozens of men now in one-on-one coaching, and it works every time. What a man has to do to get his relationship with his woman lined up with his brain chemistry is to start to focus primarily on her pleasure. Okay, so a man is having sex, and this sounds a little counterintuitive at first, but a man is having sex basically to give her a beyond the stars orgasm and pretty much ignore his own need for release. Now, here's what happens. If a man focuses on his woman's sexual fulfillment, it becomes now another mission, right? It becomes for him another goal. It becomes novelty. It's like, okay, here's the task. I'm going to take her beyond where I've ever taken her before. That desire in him to give her the peak experience is going to kick back in his testosterone. He's got a job to do. And that's actually the beauty of a technique, a structured way of having sex that John developed called polarity sex, which works a dream. Every time I've shown a man how to do this, he comes out feeling confident, feeling a renewed love and excitement for his woman, and the interest in porn drops through the floor. The interest in porn diminishes.
And he doesn't need Viagra.
He doesn't need Viagra because because it's a positive cycle. You see, he gives his woman an incredible peak experience. And what happens? He feels, and this is the key thing for a man, he feels, I'm the guy. Yeah. As John says, he feels like $1 million. You know, I did that, right? I took her beyond where she's gone before. That creates a positive loop where when he starts to look forward to the possibility of doing that again, it creates confidence in a man, which is key to healthy brain chemistry.
John, I thank you so much, Arjuna. And John, I would love for you to say something about the addictive quality of porn and masturbating to porn, because I think that you know quite a bit about that.
Yes, it's a really big thing. And real simply put, and the limited amount of time, is actually many years ago, I'd be talking about it, as the young men who are doing the camera work on all my shows would come back to me the next time I did the show and say, man, you changed my life. And I said, well, what happened? And he said, I'm a teenager growing up in an age where you can have all this novelty online, which men have never had, all these women undressing in front of them. So it's just like, it literally stimulates so much dopamine that it would be the same as taking heroin. Okay, so what happens and that's an addictive substance. Now, what an addictive substance is, most people think it just means, oh, that means I have to do it again and again. No, it's not just that I have to do it again and again. It's I have to do it to experience pleasure. And normal experiences produce now less pleasure. There's actually a biological response when you have heroin, which is you lose 30% of your brain's ability to enjoy normal stimulation. So if I had a cup of coffee that gave me a buzz, okay, and I took 5 cups of coffee that stimulated way more of a buzz, then one cup of coffee will now do nothing for me.
Right.
And one cup of coffee is a normal relationship. And take that to the side. That's understanding addiction. It defeats your ability to enjoy normal interactions. The reason internet porn is so dopamine stimulating to such a high level is you're getting sexual novelty, which stimulates dopamine, but there's no personal real interaction. A real interaction will produce serotonin, which will moderate dopamine, keep it from going too high. A real interaction, particularly physical touching, will produce oxytocin, which will also keep the testosterone from going too high. So oxytocin, serotonin, the personal relationship aspect moderates your dopamine levels so they don't go to this super high level, which then downregulates dopamine receptors. And now normal stimulation, you can't even get an erection. And that's what was happening with these young guys, is they had a pretty girlfriend. They couldn't even get an erection with a real woman. They had to keep going for the not real woman, the fantasy. And that's what fantasy does. And add to fantasy, electrostimulation of a computer. It's right there as if real, but nothing of touch. And I want to just say this briefly, which is porn for men and male hormones is similar to social bonding that occurs through the computer. The more women become dependent upon social bonding through the computer, the less they're motivated and enjoy personal bonding with people in the real world. So male porn is naked women. Female porn is Facebook.
Facebook, where they're not really having
a real
face-to-face.
Yeah, right. as one woman said, "Who are, you have all these friends, but how many people come and help you move?"
Right. There you go. Well, thank you so much for sharing that and in the detail that you did, because it I think it's so prevalent in our society, and it helps us to understand the whole chemistry of it. And Arjuna, you really shared so beautifully a way to go to change it and to be better and have a more beautiful sexual relationship with your partner. So I want to just thank you both for being with us on New Dimensions today. Thank you.
Total honor. Thank you.
What a pleasure. Thank you so much.
I've been here with John Gray and Arjuna Arda. And John Gray, as many of you know, he's the author of Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus, the book. And Arjuna is also a writer and a teacher, and they together have written Conscious Men. And if you want to know more about their work, you can go to the website consciousmen.com. There is a free 5-day mini course available there, or you can also go to marsvenus.com. Or you can get to either of those websites through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3586.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org. And just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over 4 decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org. Or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hi, I'm Mae McCarthy, author of The Path to Wealth. Next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about using a spiritual practice to achieve more of what you want in life.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. your alternative to mainstream media. Broadcasting from Simon Fraser University at Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia.
You're listening to CJ.